Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Got the mind of Christ here. We just praise you, Lord, and we thank you for this wonderful time that you've got us in. Lord, this is an awesome time. Thank you, Father, for bringing us. Is that okay? All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Lord, we just ask for a renewing in our hearts for you. A rebuild. I don't know how I can put it, but Lord, just we want more of you to help us to draw near to you. And I know it takes a lot. It's mostly us that has to do it, and I thank you for that, Lord. But place it in our hearts to run after you with all of our hearts. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And not only that, Lord, we thank you for helping us to shut off the distractions that we've had in the past. Thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that all of us are beginning to understand that we have the power of the universe in us. And we just praise you and we thank you that we're beginning to understand that. And when the time comes for this great and wonderful revival, this church will be ready, because we're going to be able to show the signs and wonders of God, because we've already done them. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our hearts and our minds. And we thank you for our wonderful night tonight. Let all of our hearts come together in one accord. And I praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you that we're just going to have a good time in you tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, has anyone else got a prayer that they'd like to pray? All four of us, huh? Yeah, Anna, go ahead.
Elisha would like to share a couple testimonies.
Okay.
So I had been missing my little stuffed animal bobcat for a while. And a few days ago, we were cleaning out Shoshana's, the girl's room, and I said, maybe my bobcat will be under Kayla's crib. And so I looked there, and it was under Kayla's crib.
Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Look at that. You got another one?
Yeah, another one.
Okay, go ahead. Here, close down so they can see your face. There you go. There you go.
One time at night, I was kind of feeling sick, and so I got up and went to Daddy and asked him to pray for me, and he did. And in the morning, I can't remember if it was the night or in the morning, it was just gone.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen, brother. Got the faith, boy. You got the faith.
I'll stay up a little bit longer because I don't want you to get out of
there. Amen. That's awesome. Hey, Obi. And Josephus and Andrew. Well, who is that? Is that Elisha?
Morning, everybody.
Hey, Joe. Is that Andrew? Yeah, that's Andrew. And Vanita. All right, has anyone else got a prayer request or would like to pray? Okay, Julie.
Well, Father, I thank you for your grace and mercy and your sovereignty over all the things that are happening in the world right now. And there's just a lot of stuff, and it's hard to keep track of everything. And I know that you know every little detail about everything and every person that you created and what their purpose is. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy and your authority you've given to us and your dominion that we have. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state and that you've been hearing our prayers to bring down this faction in the government, the faction that is the slander and the gossip, the railing, the opinions, the stuff that's going on in the media, the division that it's caused with the MAGA movement, and that it will your purpose for the MAGA movement, Lord, will be fulfilled. And we thank you, Lord, for removing people, exposing them and removing them, even in the group of people that were supporters. If they're not supposed to be there and they're not real, and they're truly not backing up the president, Lord, and there's evil in within their midst, Lord, that all be exposed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for reversing things and moving things along the way they're supposed to go. And thank you, Lord, for giving us faith and the boldness just to speak those things that we see and we hear about as if they never happened, Lord, and that we can do that. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing all this wickedness down, turning things around, and blessing your people, Lord, because we have a lot to look forward to. And I know that your plans do not fail, and you're going to bring them to pass. You gave them this plan, Father, and it's your plan we trust, not their plan. It's the plan that you have, Lord, and your purpose is in it. We bind and cast down the faction that's coming against the government leadership and even trying to stir in their midst, Lord, division in the military. This is their commander in chief, and they're supposed to serve him. And they're not supposed to get all this other stuff and questionings and reasonings and vocalize all that stuff. They can't trust and they can't do it. In that regard, Lord, then we pray that you're going to do something, Lord, to make things clear, that they understand why things are the way they are, but they still have to obey their command. In Jesus' name, I thank you for doing it, Lord, and doing a quick work there. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Oh, we talked, baby and I talked about that. And let's just pray. Let's pray, pray down witchcraft against Trump. There seems to be some things that are going on that he normally wouldn't do. So, in the name of Jesus, right now, we thank you, Father, that you are shielding him from all witchcraft curses spoken against him that might get him off track of what he's supposed to do and what you've got him to do. And I know that you use us to do that. And I'm thanking you, Father, right now that there is a shield around him that's casting down all of those witchcraft curses spoken against him. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that it's all going to be fixed and everybody's going to be satisfied here shortly. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. All right, anyone else? Hi, Vanita and Barbara. Yeah, Missy, come in.
We thank you, Lord, for exposing and bringing out the information on election fraud from 2020 election and removing all of them that were involved in not properly certifying the election, Lord, which means a lot of the government's going to be gone. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. For doing this, Lord, and putting in ones that you want in there, Lord, taking the criminals out and putting the ones in that you want to be in the government for your purpose, for your kingdom, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, for straightening it all out. In Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Joe. Andrew, Vanita, Barbara. Yeah, Vanita, go ahead.
I have a praise report to share.
Okay.
All right. So last Thursday, when we were on the call, we talked about those five things that we need to remember. And I was listening to you guys, you know, read through that and all that. And just before I got on the call, I twisted my leg a little bit and something popped in my knee. And I couldn't walk. I couldn't bend it at all. It hurt like crazy. And I just couldn't walk at all. So it was perfect timing for this message that we had on Thursday. And so I was just like, all right, this is it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe in that healing. And I don't need to worry about it. This is going to be taken care of. And so I had that going through my head all week. And I was like, I just couldn't bend it at all. So I'm going through the week. I'm like, do I need an x-ray? No, I don't need an x-ray. And I just kept remembering those things and kept standing firm on that. And it's just like, I still couldn't bend it. I'm like, I'm going to have to get an x-ray, right? There's got to be something going on in there. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to get an x-ray. I don't even have insurance. I can't get an x-ray anyway. So just kept believing, just kept standing on it. And oh my gosh, I can bend it 90% right now, and the 10% is coming soon, or right now, actually. Anyway, so I just stood on that, and it's just like first my back, then my tooth, and now my knee. And each time it's just giving me more faith. It really is, because like for my tooth, I thought for sure I needed a root canal or something. I was sure of it, but I didn't do anything with it. I just left it alone, and I kept thinking of David's testimonies of his kids getting healed and shoulders being put back in place and all that. And Lord took care of me, completely took care of me in all the areas that I needed. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. Remember what he said? He said, you need to become absolutely ruthless about eliminating words of doubt from your vocabulary. Amen. Boy, and I'll tell you what, I have to remind myself every minute. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. But it's worth it. I got a little testimony. It's actually a pretty big one. Also, Vanita, it was something that came on me yesterday, day before, I can't remember whichever day it was. And I just rebuked it. And I said this prayer right here. The one that's in this book, let's see, let me find it here. I believe God is my provider. I receive supernatural. Wait, no, that's not it. Here it is. I believe my body is healed. I receive divine health right now. And I was doing this as I was walking yesterday. And I command this sickness to leave my body immediately. And I declare that by the stripes of Jesus, I am completely whole. And this healing is manifesting now. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit came all over me while I was walking there, and I was completely healed. Completely, I know I was. And it was something that was pretty dangerous to me. And it's gone. Praise God. It ain't dangerous to God. Praise God. No danger at all. But thank you, Lord, for showing us how to do this and showing us that we don't confess the bad confession. We always confess the good confession. Praise God. And I thank you, Lord, I can heal perfect. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank you that everybody here is healed and delivered and set free. Praise be to God. And their bodies are lining up with the Word of God right now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Yeah, Barbara, go ahead.
Amen. Yeah, I received that too. I have a similar testimony. I was experiencing I think they were chest pains. I don't know, just weird pains coming over me. Like for a couple of days, I just kept rebuking it and ignoring it, and it would go away, but it would keep coming back. And I was like, no, I don't receive this. And I kept quoting that scripture in Exodus where the Lord says, because I'm following the Lord and Jesus bore the curse for me, and I'm following the Lord. So that scripture in Exodus, was it six? Exodus six. Well, anyways, where God says, I will put none of these diseases on you. I'm thinking to myself, that's right. Nothing can come on me because I don't have any of those diseases that the enemy would try to put on me because I'm not under the curse. Jesus bore the curse for me. And anyways, I just kept rebuking it, and it did leave, and it is gone, and I'm healed, and I walk in divine health as well.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you,
Thank you,
Lord.
Lord. Glory be to God.
Amen. Something Anna said the other day really spoke to me while I'm on here. She said, no matter what, you keep confessing. She said, Matt didn't know. Matt thought she was really confessing she was healed about something. And she was, or that she was speaking faith. And yeah, we got to keep, I got, that really spoke to me. I got to speak that all the time, that I'm healed, even if I'm feeling something. No, I'm healed anyways, because I just got to agree with the word no matter what. And anyways, that spoke to me, Anna said the other day. I think it was Friday. Anyways, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Did I tell you the story about Curry Blake, I believe it was? He had stood up and he had preached or taught for 8 hours on divine healing and some other things one time. And after the meet, after the deal, he just asked a question. Is there anybody that has a question about what we've talked about tonight? And a young lady held her hand up. I think she was a teenage daughter of the pastor that was there. And she said, yes, I've got a question. He said, what is it? He said, how in the world can you go 8 hours up there without going to the restroom? He said, out of all the miracles you've seen tonight, that's your question? She said, yes. He said, well, he said, that's a good question. He said, my wife has asked me that too. He said, I'll tell you. He said, Lester Summerall said about Smith Wigglesworth, he said he'd get up every morning. Can you hear me? He'd get up every morning and he would tell his body, he said, today, body, you're going to line up with me. We're going to have lots of energy. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And we're not going to have any problems. That's what he did every day. He never did have any problem. And he said, I just do the same thing. I take dominion over my body. It can't do what it wants to. It has to do what I want it to. And I said, man, whoo, I need to start doing that. So we have dominion over our bodies to tell it what to do rather than it trying to tell us what to do. Well, you can't go today because you feel bad. Nope, I feel good. I feel good. Like I knew I would now. But anyway. Okay, Joe, let's see if I can find them. Anyways, anybody else got a testimony or a prayer request or would like to pray? I'll tell you what, let's all pray in unison. What do you think? Anybody that needs a prayer answered for healing? I'm going to read this confession. Not that one there, this one. This one, where is it? There it is. I got too many booklets laying around, Judy. Okay. Now, Wigglesworth says here, he says, stand up, lift your hands, if possible, and declare out loud. One, I believe God's word over my life. That's the first one. I receive everything Jesus purchased for me. And I command every force of darkness to leave my presence now. Every force of darkness to leave my presence now. And I declare the goodness of God over my family, my health, my finances, and my future. Praise God. And number five, I walk in breakthrough when? Now. Not someday, but right now in Jesus' mighty name. Breakthrough is here for all of us. Praise be to God. And he says, when you start your day with this kind of declaration, you're setting the spiritual atmosphere for everything that follows. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, anybody else got something they'd like to share? I'm telling you, I think we're on the oh, okay. We're on the precipice of something great and wonderful fixing to happen. We have to be prepared for it, and that's why we're doing these things, is to encourage everybody to be prepared, be ready to do what God wants us to do, and bring people into the kingdom when this shaking starts. That's what our job is. Be able to teach people what the Word of God says, what the true gospel is. Be sure you got that in your heart. Tell them what the true gospel is. There's too much false stuff out there. Too much false stuff. Okay, I think Julie's got a song to sing for us.
You all can sing with me, okay?
Praise God. That's a good song. All right. What's up next? Okay. Where are we at in real good news? Oh my. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, Brodus.
Michael, sorry, I don't want to hurry you, but that emails is to read on a, answer
Yeah.
it if you can, please, Mary.
I forgot to go
Sorry.
there. Hang on. Let me see here. Did you want me to read your Lord's protection deal?
Yeah, for both of them, if you can, please.
Okay, all right. This is from Joe, and he said, "I just finished shaving, and I see that there's water on the floor. My bathroom is very small. I bend down and wipe it up. When I got up, I forgot the bathroom cabinet door that the mirror is on is still open. My head stopped with my hair touching the sharp corner of the mirror. It could only have been the Lord that had stopped the enemy's plans." Amen to that. Woo, thank you, Lord, for doing that for Joe. Then he says, "I trust the Lord to manifest the patience I have already received. And thank you, Father. I must think before I speak." Amen for all of us. "I want to confess that I spoke too quickly to correct Michael during last week's Friday meeting, and I'm truly sorry for that." I had no problem. I don't even remember it. "I did this the previous week as well, and then sent everyone a text message confessing it. I believe Father let it happen again because in the message I sent everyone, I said, I don't want to wait for next week's meeting because I was impatient. Thank you to everyone who prays for me." Yes, Lord, we thank you for Joe and his honesty, and we praise you, Father, that you have got him on the straight and the narrow again, and we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, Anna.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, Joe. Thank you. No, thank you.
I wanted to share such a similar testimony. When I first had Obi, of course, I was, getting used to everything, and I would wear him on a carrier on the front. And I had a 4Runner that I was driving, an SUV. And I had got groceries. I felt pretty good. Got him strapped in there, went through the store, got my groceries, got all the groceries unloaded with them still on there. And I you had to really slam the hatch. And I slammed that thing only to realize as it was too late that as I'm slamming it, that the edge of the metal, like not the tailgate, but the edge of the hatch went whoosh, like I don't know, maybe like a quarter inch past his little head.
Oh
And
my
because I was not
gracious.
used to wearing him on the front, and I was not thinking about, oh, how, because I slammed it like that all the time, and I didn't think about, oh, he's sticking out so many more inches. Whew! Yeah, the Lord saved you, huh? And of course,
Amen.
we've had many, many close calls, but praise God. Another one,
Praise
real
the
quick, that
Lord.
comes to mind is we were after a pot blessing one time, a bunch of us were throwing frisbees around, and we had these like really fast ones that kind of hurt a little bit if they hit you. And one of the guys threw a frisbee, and it was going right for the back of Obi's head. He was like a year and a half. He was running out in the yard, and we're all standing there because we're throwing long, far frisbee throws. And we're all standing there like, uh-oh, because there's no time for anyone to run and grab Obi. And as he's toddling around, he just right as the things are right as the frisbee's about to hit him in the back of the head, he steps in a little ditch, a little tiny dent, and it skims right over the top of his head. He pops right back out on the other side.
Oh my goodness. Thank you,
So,
Lord.
anyways, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Boy, you ought to be glad you got a praying mama. Kept your head on your shoulders.
A really good angel. A really good
Yeah.
angel.
Yeah,
That's
you
what
got to be
it
with these kids. Yeah. Amen. All right, anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, yeah, I saw that. Look it up. All right, where we at on this? Anybody know? I think we're on page. Don't know.
We're on forgiveness.
Yeah, you know where we're at.
Sure, I
Chapter
do.
8.
Yeah, starting it.
97. Yep.
Okay. I want to get back into this because I think it'll help us all to go over it again. Real Good News is one of my favorite books. Get back here where I can. It's not but 87 in here, Anna. Feels good, me. All right, chapter 8, forgiveness. Praise God. David said, "Well, brethren, we talked about faith and about learning to abide in and hold fast to the word." He said, "Now I'd like to look at something that I consider just as important. It's something that's washing over the world right now, something that will ultimately destroy the world as we know it, and that something is unforgiveness." We studied in the previous chapter about confessing our sins. We learned how important it is to have a clear conscience before God so that we can be bold before Him and so that we can have our prayers answered. And in the days ahead, there's going to be nothing more important than being able to connect with God and having your prayers answered. That's why confession is so important. Jesus told us in Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye received them." That's past tense. "And ye shall have them." That's what faith is. You believe it's already done. Now that's an awesome gift to be taken into the terrible times ahead. Most people would think, yes, if I had that kind of a gift to be able to believe and receive anything I needed, I'd be pretty safe. Well, this is the true word of God that we've been studying, folks, and the Lord is not going to back away from His promises. He has guaranteed them to us. However, He adds a condition to this that many people don't continue on to read. And it's just as important as this verse, Mark 11:25, "And whensoever ye stand praying, forgive. If you have ought against anyone, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." And obviously, when we stand praying for all things whatsoever, we need to be forgiven so that we're entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. But we also need to forgive in order to be entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 5, "For which is easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins," then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise and take up thy bed and go up into thy house." In other words, when a person receives the answer to their prayer, when they are healed or delivered, this is a sign that God has forgiven them. And that means we need to be forgiven in order to have the benefits of God. Forgiveness is not hard to obtain from Him. And we need the forgiveness of God in order to have the benefits of God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Lord said, I'm going to prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said, be healed. And of course, the man is healed. The Lord is saying to us that this is proof that the Lord has forgiven. Therefore, if we want God's benefits, we should make real sure that we are forgiven. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. 1 John 1:9. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That puts you in right standing with God so that you may receive the benefits of the kingdom, no matter what they are, whether healing or anything else. And we're nearing a time when we need to be in right standing with God, because we're going to need the benefits of the kingdom just to live through the things that are coming. According to Jesus, we know that we have to forgive in order to be forgiven. Matthew 6:14 said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we need our sins covered so that we can have all the benefits of grace in the New Testament. Amen to that. And I believe that many people read over this, but they haven't really forgiven down in their hearts. Many times people go on for years and years living under the curse because they haven't forgiven others. They have ought against their brother. Jesus told a parable to explain how we're delivered over to the curse because of our holding on to unforgiveness. The king, representing God, forgave his servant of a great debt. But then that servant went out, took his fellow servant by the throat, and threatened him because of a much smaller debt. This greatly angered his Lord. Matthew 18:32. Then his Lord called him unto him, said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besoughtest me. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. The key here is from your hearts. Many people give lip service of forgiveness to others while their actions prove that they do not forgive others. They're not turning the other cheek. They're not resisting evil. And they go to war with their enemies instead of loving and forgiving their enemies. We as Christians are called to be peculiar people. We're not called to join with the world in wars against the world, because we have a peculiar kingdom, the kingdom of God, which has a different set of rules. The being delivered over to the tormentors is something that many, many Christians live under because they don't have a blood covering. They're not forgiven by God, since they themselves are unforgiving toward others. And their actions prove that. They may give lip service. They may give lip service to it, but they meditate on their answers against other people. And the Lord taught me years ago that sins come in threes. You have a thought, the thought stirs up an emotion, and then the emotion stirs up your actions. For instance, a very common thought could be unforgiveness. And as you meditate on your unforgiveness of the wrongdoing that this person has done to you, your emotions are stirred up and you become angry. And as you continue to think on these things and meditate on your anger, the next demon that's let in is wrath. So this initial thought gives way to actions, and demon are let into our life in this way. If not demons, it doesn't make any difference, because when we give in to evil spirits, we allow them to sow their seed in us and we become like them. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees as though they were sons of the devil. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. They were sons of the devil because he had recreated his nature in them. They gave in to the thoughts he gave them. They gave into agreement with him, or came into agreement with him. And they were recreated in his image. And although very religious, they were still sons of the devil. Somebody else want to read? Okay, Julie.
Many people have told me, David, I don't really know how to forgive from my heart, or I just don't know if I really, or if I've really done that. Well, I understand, and I've thought on that, and I felt that the Lord has shown me that we are to make the decision to forgive. God is the only one who can take the emotion out of us, and we know that he has done that. Through our study of the Real Good News, we understand that he has already solved this problem by taking away the nature of sin. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree. But first he wants this decision from us. We can't do anything about the emotions other than, if you do not think on these things, the emotions aren't going to be stirred up. They're going to be starved. If you cast down the imaginations that are contrary to the word of God, 2 Corinthians 10:5. They're going to be starved. If you cast down these illegal thoughts about unforgiveness toward other people, you can make the decision. God will cleanse you because you make that decision. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, I'm sorry, 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, David says, is his word. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a really good deal, folks. If you have for years wanted to experience real forgiveness down in your heart or from the heart, the first thing you have to do is refuse illegal thoughts, thoughts that are contrary to the word of God against a person. Since you are commanded to forgive, you make that decision. You decide, okay, I'm not going to think this way. I cast down these imaginations that are against the word of God. I bring every thought into subjection to Christ, to Jesus Christ. When you do that, you're starving these emotions and you won't act in disagreement with the word of God. Let's look at Esau as one example of a man who had a root of bitterness. Hebrews 12:14. Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification, or the word holiness, it's the same Greek word, without which no man shall see the Lord. He tells us to follow after this sanctification, which means separation from the world unto God, and that without this, you won't see the Lord. Many people are deceived because they think they'll see the Lord, but they're worldly, just like the Pharisees and Sadducees, who thought for sure that they knew the Lord. Even though they were sons of the devil, they still thought they would see him. But Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil. Jesus told Nicodemus, a very religious man and probably the most righteous among the Pharisees, because he recognized that Jesus was a righteous man. John 3:3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus told him, "You have to be born from above, or you will never see the kingdom." Being born from above is receiving the word of God into your heart so that it begets you into Christ, into Jesus Christ. That's a continual process. You first receive a new spirit, which is what everyone calls born again, but that's only part of it. As you follow and submit to the born again spirit and you let the word of God put to death your old life and bring forth your new life, then your soul becomes a begotten again unto God. And if you have been faithful in that, then you will have a born again body. This is the process that scripture teaches, and sanctification is the process in your soul. Hebrews 12:15. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. Notice he's saying that a root of bitterness would cause you to fall short of the grace of God. We don't want to come short of any of the grace of God because it sanctifies us in the first place. The grace of God brings healing, deliverance, provision, and the grace of God brings all the benefits of the kingdom. But if we're not forgiven, we don't have grace. If we don't forgive, we don't have forgiveness. So a root of bitterness will cause us to fall short of the grace, because if you have unforgiveness, you will not have the grace of God. Does anyone else want to read or want to comment?
Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to read? Yeah, go ahead, Ben. Anybody got any comments?
No comment, but I'd like to read if someone has a comment.
Sure, yeah.
I had a comment. I was just thinking, you know, I've learned so much about that because David has taught so much about that. And Michael, you have too. And we have to, one of the things that helped me is recognizing the thoughts. Like this is from an early, early teaching, I don't know, or just was something that, you know, was shared. But when you can think about a person whom, like from your past or whatever, that you really had trouble with, you know, or who hurt you, or you know, that you know, some grievance, right? If you can think about that person and you still have like anything stirring up in your emotions of anger or resentment or any, you know, bad thought, it's like, okay, there's still something there. And that's what you have to, you know, give to the Lord. And that's what the Lord was showing me too. It's like, you know, I made a list of like, when I was early in my walk in Christianity, I can't remember the name of the book now that I read, but it was about getting set free of the past and that kind of thing. And one of the steps in that book was to make a list of everyone who had ever done wrong to you. Like you had any grievance against anybody and, you know, whoever that would be. And even if you felt something against God, like you thought he was unfair, or you put on there, and then you made the list. And if you, you know, wanted to, you could just make like a note about what they did or whatever, you know, and then you would go through the list and you would go through all the grievances for every person, and you would tell, you know, confess to the Lord what they did and that you chose to forgive that person. So I have the whole list, all that, da, da, da. Checked it off. And then it's like, okay, and now after you've done that, you want to be able to really release those people. So after I made the list and everything, after I paid over it and forgave everybody with the understanding that I had at that time and what I was supposed to do and that. And then I destroyed the list. Like it was done, it was gone, it was forgotten. And now that kind of thing kind of stuck with me. That I think that really helped me to be able to not carry a grudge against anyone and to really release people who did something wrong. It was an active thing I did by, you know, writing it down and making the, you know, the knowledge of it before God and why I felt that way. And it's like, but you said, you know, God, you said to forgive. So I'm forgiving and I'm releasing these, all these things, and I'm destroying the list so it's forgotten. And so it's like, so that helped me a lot about, you know, if you can think about something somebody did to you, or you think of that person, how do you visualize that person, you know? And Anyhow, I hope that helps somebody, maybe.
All right, who wants to read? Yeah, Ben, go ahead. I'm sorry, I
Yeah,
forgot about you.
I'd like to make a comment, just to sort of add on to what's going on here. I have a lot of, well, sort of going through a little personal thing right now with my brother-in-law. He's not being a very kind man. I'll leave it at that. And it's hard to, well, I'll say this, I'm surprised that the Lord has suppressed so much anger in me, because I know it has to be God to not. It has to be God. There's no way I can hold back what I want to do to him. Just to put it into words would be too much. And I know it's the Lord, because I'm not angry at him. I pity him. And then I always think about when Jesus was on the cross, when he said, "Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." A lot of these people, they're lost, literally and figuratively, like they're lost, and they don't even know what's going on in their own minds, doing the things that they're doing. And when I think of a person like that going through all this stuff, I think of eternity. And that's a soul in there. You know, that's a person in there. This is just a demon that's attacking this person, and it's manifesting itself for a reason. And you know, I feel what I feel for my brother-in-law, and I've made my petitions for him. I forgive him for what he's done. And I want him to repent over all things. So I think of, again, I'm astounded by how much the Lord moves into you, just moves into you naturally to not go against it. It's obviously hard to be around him, and I try and I don't say much, and I don't think much. And when the topic comes around about him, I really try and watch what I say. But like, there's no maliciousness that I have towards him, and I couldn't explain it. Like, it sort of blows my mind how great and how awesome God is, and how much he changes you. Anyways, I don't want to continue on with this problem, because, you know, it's. Anyways, just to sort of make that comment, it's a natural thing. You almost are a totally different person that would change. And just the forgiveness is obviously hard. I'm not gonna deny that. It's hard to really look at him in the eyes and be like, "You need to love this person and forgive them. God has given you his nature and took your old name." Absolutely. It's very much, I know y'all know what I'm talking about, and it's very much encouraging to see God's nature being put within me and manifesting within me. It's a very uplifting experience. And so, thank you, Lord, for proper forgiveness. It makes me think of, also makes me think about that book, Escaping Christendom, where it was like it was the Valley of Forgiveness or something, and someone in this person's dream. I don't know if anyone's familiar with what I'm talking about. It's kind of like a John Bunyan dream. And basically, he was walking in a desert, and he met someone he knows in his personal life, someone that did him wrong. And then the person in his dream's like, "I need you to forgive me." And then the guy was like, "Of course I forgive you." And then he asked him again, "No, I need you to forgive me." He's like, "Yeah, I forgive you." And he's like, "No, I need you to forgive me within here." And so that's kind of what Julie was talking about. Any sort of thought, any sort of maliciousness, any sort of thinking in your head of like, "Oh, this guy did this, and that's all he's good for, and It's not about yeah, we all know what I'm saying. We all know what I'm talking about. But to just go kind of go against that and to be like, I see him as the end result of what Christ wants him to be. And that's another thing that kind of helps. It's just like, you can have faith for that person being delivered the same way that God foreordained you to be called. So if I'm going to have faith that he will be called, how could I hate him when I know he's going to be in the kingdom? So that's another way of thinking about it, I guess. I was going to read, but if anyone has a comment on that.
Amen.
Oh, Joe wants to say something.
Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to add a little bit to what Ben says. If you travel, Lord, we were all in the same place in the world. It was our nature to be like that. We cannot condemn them. You cannot reason with them. I have to be in a kingdom to understand why we're thinking the way we're thinking. So that's why the Lord tells us, Lord, to forgive, to give grace to anybody, to have patience, to listen. And put the word in your heart. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Ben.
He says, the root of bitterness springing up will trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. In what way does a root of bitterness defile many? 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Just through your association with other people, you sow seeds in their life. You leave an impression on them. You cause them to give in to some temptations that you do. You are a temptation to them. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. You may think you can get around evil people and they won't rub off on you, but the Bible says, be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. That's why the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, purge out the old leaven that ye may be a new lump. Don't you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? If you have a root of bitterness, you're corrupting the people around you by sowing your thoughts into their life. The opposite is also true. If you're around a real Christian who sows seed in your life, they're sanctifying you. They're washing your feet. They're cleaning up your walk and separating you from this dirty, old, dirty world. But all a corrupt person can bring forth is corruption. There's another way that a root of bitterness can defile a man. Leviticus 17 and 11. For the life, or soul, it's the same word, of the flesh is in the blood. We pass on our nature to our children through the blood. The sins of the parents are passed to the children of the third and fourth generation. Exodus 20 and 5. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Your life that you have walked in and corrupted is passed on to your children. You can't stop it. There's only one thing that can stop it, and that is walking in a sanctified life so that you don't enter into any more sin. Truly, we pass on our natural characteristics to our children, but you don't have to continue to walk in more sin that's multiplied by your steps. The root of bitterness has been passed on from generation to generation in many families, and it's all passed on by associations, and other people do you wrong, but you don't turn the other cheek. You don't resist, not evil. You don't resist, not the evil. Matthew 5:39. Jesus told us, Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, and pray for them that persecute you. So we see that many can be defiled with a root of bitterness that gets into one person and passed on. The root of bitterness can become a generational curse through a person's bloodline, and it can also infect others with whom they associate. Hebrews 12 and 15. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many, be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as ye saw, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. Esau, our example here, definitely had a root of bitterness. His mother didn't cater to him at all because he wasn't her favorite. Jacob was her favorite. And then his father Isaac gave away Esau's blessing to Jacob. Esau became bitter enough to want to kill his brother. Genesis 27 and 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." If Jacob had not left at his father's instigation, Esau might have done just that. Well, after years of Jacob being away from his brother, Esau managed to have some semblance of forgiveness. And when Jacob came back, he told his brother that he was going to settle in the land of Esau with his sheep and cattle, but Jacob stopped short of there, and I'm thinking he knew the absence makes the heart grow only temporarily fonder. I believe that Jacob understood that if he lived around his brother Esau for very long, that old demon would rise up in him again. So Jacob decided to separate himself from Esau, and I think it was a wise decision. We know that Esau's descendants are still walking in his steps today. Ishmael is another good example. You probably know the story. God had prophesied to Abraham and Sarah. This was before their names were changed, that Abraham would have seed like the stars of heaven for multitude, and that they would be blessed. So they waited for a time, but then they got in the flesh and decided to help the Lord out. Genesis 16 and 1. No, Sariah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, "Behold now, the Lord Jehovah hath restrained me from bearing. Go in, I pray thee, unto my handmaiden. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her handmaiden, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to Abram, her husband, to be his wife. What Sarai did to carry on the bloodline was common in those days, but as you might expect, when Hagar conceived, she was a little rebellious against her mistress. I'm sure Hagar considered herself to be the real wife of Abram, but Sarai saw it differently and complained to Abram. Genesis 16 and 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, "My wrong be upon thee. I gave my handmaid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee." But Abram said unto Sarai, "Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her what that which is good in thine eyes." And Sarai dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face. Basically, Hagar had bitterness towards Sarai, and she fled into the wilderness where the word of God came to her. Genesis 16 and 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's handmaid, whence camest thou? And whither goest thou?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the face of my mistress, Sarai." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "I will greatly multiply thy seed, that it shall not be numbered, that it not be numbered, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. That's very interesting, because God had told Abram this, and now God was saying this about Ishmael, or at least about Hagar's seed, which would be through Ishmael. There are many Arabs and Muslims who believe that Ishmael was the true promised seed, and it could be because God spoke this to Hagar. As a matter of fact, God said it to Abraham again in the next chapter, Genesis 17 and 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and he will make him, and I will make him a great nation. And so they replaced the promised seed of Isaac with Ishmael. There's just one problem with that. We know that scriptures have a perfect numerical pattern going through them, and that the testimony that's written here is the correct testimony, because every Hebrew letter has to be in its place to sustain the numeric pattern. Does anyone else want to read?
Yeah, does anyone else want to read?
I can read.
Okay, Joe. We'll get you next, Missy.
Now, Hagar was bitter towards Sarah, and no doubt some of this bitterness got into her son Ishmael. In fact, she is told in Genesis 16, verse 12, and he shall be as a wild ass, but KJV says wild man, but the literal translation is wild ass among men. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell against all his brethren. What would have caused this to happen? For it be to fulfill almost the last 4,000 years, it would cause the life of a flesh in the blood. So the sin is passed on from generation to generation. And of course, each generation adds to the sin. Man is degenerating more and more over time, even to the point of becoming the most bitter, most unforgiving generation that does not mind destroying most of humanity. And some of that bitterness is due to the situation you're reading about right here. Millions of people can be killed merely by someone pushing a button. The only hope we have is Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are to know no man after the flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. And as Christians, we are forbidden to have respect of persons, James chapter 2, verse 1 to 9. A lot of Christians prefer the Jews over the Ishmaelites, but the Jews that they prefer in most cases are lost Jews. They don't know God, they're not born again, and they took with disrespect upon, look with disrespect upon the name of Jesus. Remember that Jesus told one of the most respectful Jews, Nicodemus, you must be born again, or you will never see the kingdom of God. That's in John chapter 3, verse 3. That's still true today. We are to know man after the flesh. Let me tell you, a lost man is a lost man. In the new covenant, it makes no difference what nationality he is. You are to preach the gospel to one just as quickly as you would preach it to another. That's what the scriptures command, and yet many don't see it that way. They prefer the Jews, but in Romans chapter 9:27 it says, if a number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, it is a remnant that shall be saved. Well, what happened through his mother's experience all by itself would have caused bitterness to enter into Ishmael. However, there was more to come. In Genesis 17:24, it says, and Abram was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael's son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Many people think that Ishmael was a baby when Hagar was driven out of the camp. But the proof is He was an old teenager, and he recognized Abraham as his father. The next chapter, the angel of the Lord tells Abraham that when the season comes around, meaning another year, Sarah will have a son. Then we go to chapter 1, where we see that Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born, and that would have made Ishmael 14 years old. Genesis 21 verse 8 says, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made the great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. So Ishmael could have been 16 years old at the wild guess, but we're talking about the teenager. He saw Abraham as his father. Genesis 21:9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Of course, Sarah was offended that she was, and she went to Abraham. Genesis 21:10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this handmaid and the son, for the son of his handmaid shall thou not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abram's sight on account of his son. Abram was hurt about this, and he went to the Lord. Genesis 21:12 says, and God said unto Abram, let it not be grievous in my sight, because of a lad, and because of my handmaid, and all that Sarah said unto her, unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In other words, God was saying, yes, cast down the handmaid and a son. Can I go on, or do you want to read, Missy? What did Ishmael feel? His father was casting him out. He would have been mocking, except he already had some feelings of rejection. Here this baby comes along, and now suddenly he was a big. He wasn't important anymore. I'm not the son of a father. Suddenly, Sarah, a little jealous, and she wanted Abram to cast his son away. You can just imagine the bitterness and rejection that entered his heart. Not to mention that his mother experienced in this situation. If you and I were not prejudiced for the Jews and we read this not knowing, we might have said, that really seems unjust to me. But first of all, we need to bear in mind that God is the one who told Abraham to do this. And I'd like to make another point in John chapter 3:27. A man can achieve nothing except it has been given him from heaven. But you know that God has commanded everything that happens in your life? Romans 8:28. And you know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. Is God, who in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, worketh all things after the counsel of his will, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, reputed as nothing, and he didn't, he doeth according to his will in the army of heavens and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Everything we receive comes from God. When we become angry and bitter, then who are we actually angry and bitter against? God. We look at the people, we see them as culprits. Yet God is the ultimate sovereign in all creation. He's the ultimately beyond. He's the one ultimately beyond things, even the devil. If you read the book of Job, you find out that even behind the devil is God. The devil is restrained from doing things that he would do. He can only do what he's permitted to do because he's not sovereign. And so here God has told Abraham to pay Sarah and yes, cast the son out. Okay, Mercy.
Okay. Anybody want to say anything before I read?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Okay. Did God know that this lad would be full of anger and bitterness and become a persecution against his chosen people? Of course he knew. God has raised up many beast kingdoms throughout the world. The Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Exodus 4:21, chapter 7 and verse 3. In order to cause him to restrain Israel's ability to leave Egypt. God did this for the purpose that he would have to do signs and wonders to show his power to save. We were put here for a purpose, but a lot of people don't know that their purpose. If they knew, they would be more likely to cooperate with God. 1 Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the in flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. We came here to suffer in the flesh, and we may suffer at the hands of other people, as Ishmael did. If we understand that God is sovereign and that we're actually being angry and unforgiving toward him, if we understand that's foolishness and we begin to cooperate with God, we'll have far less room in our heart for bitterness and resentment toward other people when we suffer rejection from them. If we would just have our relationship with God and not wrestle with flesh and blood, we wouldn't fall into these traps. But Ishmael permitted bitterness and anger in his heart against his father, who was obeying God, and everyone around us is, in one form or another, fulfilling the will of God, even if it's to bring us to our cross. When we permit bitterness and anger to enter into us, not only our offspring, but many people around us are going to become defiled because they're partaking of our nature through the words that we speak. Jesus said, John 6:63, the words that I have spoken unto you are spirit. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, are life. Well, I have news for you. Everybody's words are spirit and life, but they're not just all good spirits and good life. Jesus' words went into his disciples and changed them. His words created himself in them, and everyone does that. People put their lives in other people through the things that they say. So God is telling us here what Ishmael passed on to his seed, and the people around him was a root of bitterness that caused many people to be defiled over the next almost 4,000 years. We're heading toward Armageddon, terrible judgments of man against man. Even before that, God is proving what the liberal theologians have been saying about man, that he's basically good, is hogwash. Man is not basically good. He has a capacity to do evil far worse than the animals do. Genesis 6:5, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Sorry. And that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. One thing that has been passed down from generation to generation is these animosities, unforgiveness, and a root of bitterness that will cause the whole world to rise up and fight against one another. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his brethren. That's proven true, hasn't it? Okay. Somebody else want to read?
I'll read.
Okay, Barbara.
Am I faulting Ishmael any more than Isaac? No, because there are roots of bitterness in every culture and people. I'm making a point here that everyone needs forgiveness, no matter what their sins. If they go to Jesus Christ and accept his sacrifice, If they accept that he took away their sins and they walk in by faith, he is going to deliver them. It doesn't matter what nationality you are, so I'm not playing favorites here. I'm just pointing out the fact that we can either pass it on or bring an end to it. First of all, if we walk by faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to continue in our sins. And second, if we forgive from the heart, if we cast down these imaginations, the Lord can cleanse our emotions and our actions. Jesus gives us these commands. Matthew 5:21. Ye have heard that it was said to them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell of fire. If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there remembereth that thy brother hath aught against thee, not that you have aught against him, but he has aught against you, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. If other words God is saying, I don't want what you can do for the kingdom or anything from you until you make this right. There's no use in this thing being passed on from generation to generation and to the people around you. There's no use in you being a pollution to the kingdom of God, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Go take care of this first. Matthew 5:25.
Can I interject something there?
Yeah.
The Lord taught me something. I had somebody who was had something against me, and I knew it, and I really didn't understand what, but somebody was holding a grudge against me, and I went to try to reach out to that person to, you know, apologize, and just saying, I don't know what it is, you know, that I've done, but I'm sorry, and da, da, da. And I asked them for forgiveness. Well, it wasn't received in a manner of like, yeah, I forgive you. It was more like, you know, you haven't done anything, but they were still angry, right? I could tell it in their tone and all that kind of thing. What the Lord was showing me is like, I did my part. I went to that person and tried to make things right. So I fulfilled what the scripture said to do. And if they don't choose to forgive me, that's on them, you know. But I did what the Bible says I was supposed to do. Anyhow, that was a hard thing to happen, you know, but God, over time, I think, has softened that relationship where this person has, you know, is growing up and not still holding things against me. Praise the Lord.
Matthew 5:25. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like a disease. Somebody with a disease walks in the midst of other people, and one person passes it on to another. Then that person walks off and passes it on to three more. It's a geometric progression, and pretty soon you have a plague. Sin is the same way. That's why God says, deal with it now. Don't meditate on it, and don't pollute other people, who will then become leaven too, and go on to spread the pollution even more. Matthew 5:25, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way, lest haply the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till that thou have paid thy last farthing. We know Jesus came, Isaiah 61:1, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This isn't referring to physical prisons, but prisons of bondage to these demonic hordes, the prison of bondage to your old fallen flesh. a bondage is that you are not able to be and do what you think is right because of our fallen nature, human nature, and the demons that take advantage of it. Notice that if you find out that your brother has ought against you, you go to him. If you have ought against him, you need to give it up. If he has done something against you, you need to go to him and make it right. God taught me a long time ago that if you ask someone to forgive you, it's not always an admission of guilt. It's something that you need to do in order to cleanse their life and put forgiveness in their heart. God is saying, we want to cut this off completely as quickly as possible. If you have offended somebody, learn to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Ask them to forgive you, whether you're guilty or not. Jesus said that you'll be thrown into the prison until you pay the last farthing. Or in other words, you're going to pay the debt for your own sins. And if you don't forgive others, or if you're not useful in them forgiving you, you're going back into prison. I have something I wanted to say too on, like, I had to do that with my children. You know, I apologize to them, you know, like things they've said that, you know, maybe that I did to them, but I didn't, I wasn't guilty, but I still, just to appease them, you know, I apologize to them and ask them to forgive me, you know? So, yeah. Yeah. It makes it easier in their life, you know, in their life to not make it so hard on you, you know. That's it.
Okay.
You want me to keep reading?
Well, that's up to you.
All right, I can read this next paragraph and then someone else can read. I once knew a family, and for the sake of telling their story, I'm going to call their son Pete. I was used by the Lord in his life. I shared and prayed with him about receiving the Holy Spirit, and he did. Pete enjoyed our teachings, and he was here in our meetings regularly. One of the first experiences I had with Pete was that his wife had left him because she was an unfaithful woman. She was also very dishonest and doing anything she could to corrupt his children, about which Pete was heartbroken. Then she decided to retaliate against him by coaxing the kids into saying that their dad molested them. I knew it was a lie when I heard about it, but the kids were barred from going to their dad's house by the courts. However, their kids would come over and play with my kids. So one day I talked with his son and asked him, "Why is it that you are lying against your dad? I would like to know." And he answered, "Well, it wasn't my idea." And he broke down and started telling me things. I said, "Just wait right here." And I went and got a tape recorder. So I came back in and sat down with him and said, "Let's talk about this again." I asked him a bunch of questions and we went back through it and put it on tape. He knew what I was doing. Then I sent that tape to the lawyers and they dropped the boy's case. But they never thought, let's see, he lied and he said the mama caused him to lie. Maybe she's lying about the two girls' case we have here. No, they went to court anyway, even knowing she had lied once already.
Amen. All right, anyone else want to read?
I feel like I should finish the story. I'll go ahead and finish. So I ended up going to court and was out in the lobby with his family and some friends. I got them all together and said, "Let's pray. The Bible says that, Matthew 18:19, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. Let's pray that the jury will immediately see through this woman." And that was really asking a lot because this woman was a professional liar. She beat a lie detector test. Now, most of those people in the lobby with me didn't have very much faith, and they didn't know much about the Lord. All they had were very shallow religious experiences, but I shared for a few minutes, and then we came into agreement. I said, let's put our faith together and agree that Pete will get released very quickly. Well, that jury wasn't out 15 minutes before they came back, and Pete's lawyer thought they'd lost the case because this lady was very convincing and the jury had been so quick to reach a decision. But Pete was released. When we talked with some of the jurors afterward, they told us, I just knew that woman was lying, and I just knew that was not the truth. The people who needed to understand did. Something else is that Pete's family had an arguing spirit. They would continue constantly, or they would argue constantly. Even the mailman who was a Christian preacher, even the mailman who was a Christian preacher said, sometimes I would be going up to their door and I would hear all that arguing and fussing. And instead of going to their door to give them the mail, I would turn around and leave. I'd come back the next day, so sometimes they got their mail late. They'd argue, fuss, and fight, yet they still stayed around each other. One day I went over there with my Bible and sat down at the kitchen table with them. I said, I would like to share something with you. And I started talking to them about unforgiveness, about how this was really hurting them. I pointed out to them what the Bible says about the tormentors and so forth. And they were polite, but it only went in skin deep. A while after that, I was walking around in Pete's yard when the Lord spoke to me and said, I've warned them. Now I am going to take one of them. I think I told Pete that. And just a few days later, Pete's grandfather, who lived with Pete, was called to the phone. His daughter had called to ask him for money. He was furious about that. He left the phone cursing and screaming. Within a minute, he was dead. A few days later, although I didn't want to do it, the Lord made me talk to Pete's dad. I told him, when I was in your yard the other day, the Lord told me that I have warned them, and now I'm going to take one of them. That's why your dad is dead. Then I left. It wasn't long, though, before Pete's dad was dead, too. Okay.
Don't have unforgiveness. All right. Anyone else want to read? I'll read. This root of bitterness that defiles many can be passed on from generation to generation. It has to be fought against because you don't have the forgiveness of God while you have that garbage in your heart. You have to repent and deal with it quickly. And the way to get it out of your heart or to get it out of other people's hearts towards you is to pray for one another. James 5:16 says, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man avails much in its working. Unforgiveness is destroying multitudes of families, whole generations of people. And in these end times, millions of people are going to be destroyed because of this. We fall short of the grace of God if we don't deal with all offenses, even going back to our childhood. It might be somebody who has been dead for years who we've not forgiven, and because of that, we're not able to walk in the grace of God as we should. Many people teach faith, and faith is necessary, but you'll never have faith as long as you have this sin in your life. Your heart will condemn you, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. God's the one who gives faith. He grants faith to those who have a relationship with him, Romans 12:3. He puts that faith in your heart. And if you have bitterness and unforgiveness, you don't have a relationship with God. You don't have the forgiveness of God, so you are not entitled to the benefits of God. And therefore, you are not entitled to the faith of God. Some people say that they don't have that kind of faith. Well, sometimes there's a reason that they don't. And we need to fight the good fight of faith, cast down illegal thoughts and imaginations that come into our heart to stir up our emotions. Then those emotions will cause us to destroy ourselves. They will cause us to walk in actions that are contrary to the will of God. And I've had quite a few experiences with people like that. There was a lady here who had offended an awful lot of people. She was one of those who possessed her friends, and she would drive away anyone else who came around. So she kind of claimed my wife and me, and we would find out after the fact that she was offending people to drive them away from us. Excuse me. We kept trying to reason with her to put scriptures in her until one day the Lord told me. He said, "I want you to turn her over to Satan for the destruction of her flesh." 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. Well, don't be shocked, because God uses Satan to chasten people and bring them to repentance all the time. Matthew 12 and 25, "Every kingdom divided against itself shall not stand." Do you know that Satan's kingdom won't stand? That's because the very thing that he does to Christians to torment them is the very thing that causes them to come to repentance. And they know they've been delivered over to the devil, and they come to repentance. Anyway, I turned her over to Satan in obedience to the Lord. And I would never do that any other way. And she became deathly sick immediately. She was so sick she couldn't get out of her bed. And she was vomiting and everything like that. And when she talked to the Lord about it, the Lord said, "I want you to go back, get in front of that congregation, and I want you to tell them that you are sorry that you have done this thing to them. And then I want you to repent in front of them." And she protested, "Lord, I can't get up." So the Lord lifted the sickness off of her, and she came and stood in our assembly. She confessed her sin, but when she went back home, she became deathly sick again. She called out to the Lord again, "Lord." Excuse me. "Lord, how does this happen? I confess my sin." He replied, "You've been turned over to the devil." She said, "What?" And she called me right away and said, "David, the Lord just said that I've been turned over to the devil." I'd never told that to anybody. I said, "That's right. The Lord told me to do that. But you confessed your sins, and I don't see any reason not to release you. You are healed in the name of Jesus." And the Lord healed her right then. She received a respect for God's authority in the church. And the reason for her root of bitterness was that she had been molested as a child and she needed deliverance. So make sure that something from your childhood is not a stumbling block in causing you to mistreat others. Come to the Lord and repent. God bless you. Amen. Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I just, it says to pray for those kind of people. You just, that story you just told is exactly what is going on in my life right now. I'm working for the kids that I used to nanny for. The youngest son opened a flower shop, so I'm working there a couple days a week, and I'm working with his aunt and his grandfather. And so I've been working with his aunt, and she was telling me, I just met her, and she's been telling me about her son, and he went through a divorce because his wife was cheating on him, and so they're divorced, and now they have 3 kids. And so this lady He's like, when these kids get older, I'm going to tell them exactly what's going on. He told me not to tell them anything about it, but just you wait, I'm going to tell them. And so, and her son doesn't want her to. And so I just, I mean, it's just, it's like, okay, Mitzi, you have to remember the revenge is of the Lord. You know, we have to remember what the Bible says, and they're all Catholic. So it's a little bit different understanding. She said, well, I was raised, you know, you got to stand up for yourself. You got to fight for what you, you know, what's going on. You got to fight for yourself. So I'm like, okay, okay. So we just, they just have this anger, like every little thing angers. It's a brother and sister. So yeah. So anyways, they're, you know, they're older, like 10 years older than me, but anyways, they're just angry all the time. So I just, we need to lift them up in prayer that the Lord would show them and release them and eliminate this anger in them, just like we just read. So Lord, we just pray for these two Brakoffs that they would just be released from this, and you would show them the truth of what the Bible says and not just what they've grown up with and been told all their lives, that they would, that this would be revealed to them. It would be an epiphany to them, that they would understand exactly what the Lord tells us and they would obey it. And we praise you, Lord, for doing this in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to the Lord. Yeah, Julie.
Add on to that, too. And Father, I thank you that Benita's there and she knows the truth about this. And I pray that you will use her somehow to speak into this this family, and by way of a testimony of her own, or even just her own personal witness, Lord, Christ in her. And you would give her words to speak when she needs to, and that she would be a good prayer warrior and intercessor for them in her prayer closet as she sees things and hears things, and that she will, you will give her discernment and you will use her for your glory in this, Lord, and that these people will have a repented heart. And I pray, Father, that I just pray, Father, that you touch them, Lord, that they would come to know that there's more to life and it's not in Catholicism, and that they can't live this way. And I just ask, Lord, that you be have mercy on them, Lord, because they do not know what they're doing. They think it's right to feel this way and to do these things. And I also pray, Lord, that this woman would be respectful of her, the wishes of her brother, not to share with the kids these things. And we just bind up that spirit of malice and faction and hatred and the things that is manifesting there through her words. Even that she would tell Benita this, these things is, you know, it is evident that there's a real problem there, Father, but there's nothing too big for you. So we thank you, Lord, that they would have a repentant heart, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for using Benita in a mighty way of her own life and testimony, and that she will be a good witness for them. And she'll know how to speak when the opportunity arises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Benita. Or did she already go ahead? Okay. All right. Has anybody else got something they'd like to share? We might as well stop right there and get this Thursday night. Y'all are joining us. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Andrew. He rises up. Thank you, Lord. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to pray about? Yeah, Julie.
Well, since we were just reading about, being forgiving and that kind of thing, and I would just like to pray for my family and you all have people in your family or people you know too. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would work in my family's hearts where there is any kind of animosity, holding grudges, remembering things that were said and done amongst them that have caused them to be separated from each other and holding, things of unforgiveness in their hearts and in their minds, and that you would soften them, Lord, and that you would deliver them from these things and show them that how time is so short, and even bring back things from, in my family's life, like when my mom was, she was going to surgery for bypass, and my sister and my brother were with her, and she had had some unforgiveness towards my dad, but they took her before they wheeled her in there to the emergency room, but into the operating room there. And my sister had the grace to just speak to my mom. It's like, Mom, you need to make sure you've forgiven Dad. You want to pray. And they prayed, and Mom came through the surgery okay, but it was just that fear of, I was like, what happens if I die kind of thing. And anyhow, Lord, you can use anything in our family's lives to get them to realize that life is short, that we could go anytime, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, and that they people would in my family, Lord, that they would just want to make amends and be restored. And I pray for that restoration in my family, Lord, that there is a healing and deliverance from their past, from the things where they have been said and done, where hurt was done, and the criticizing and the judging and the failures and all the things, the rejection, just not worthy and not being good enough and put down and all kinds of stuff. And just things that people do when you're kids, and you don't have the understanding then that you do now. But Lord, you're the one that grants this gift of being able to repent and to truly forgive. And I thank you for doing that in my family. And I thank you for doing that in all of our families, Lord, that they realize how short time is, and we can't hang on to stuff. Let the past be the past, let bygones be bygones, and to think on the good things, the good memories in place of the bad, and restore what's been stolen from our families, God, by what the devil has done and what we have allowed into our lives, and just the sin nature, God. And the people are going to be repentant and get filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, and be part of this revival that we're believing them to be part of, in the name of Jesus. You can do it all, Lord. You're the great I am. And you said, if we ask you anything, and we ask you anything according to your will, we know we have received these things, and we know it's your will that our families are saved. We believe in household salvation. We believe, Lord, it's your will that they be saved and healed and delivered, because it's your thy will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. And we know these things are not existent in heaven. And we praise you, Lord, for working in our families' hearts, that there is forgiveness and there is restoration. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Lord, I just pray the same thing for my family. I thank you, Lord, for softening their hearts toward the things that have hindered them. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that they will repent and come back into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you, and I'll break the power of Satan off of their mind that gives them this, that keeps them in this circle of unforgiveness. And I thank you, Father, for breaking that circle and bringing repentance, true repentance, and bringing joy and happiness, fruit-bearing success, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Julie.
Amen. Lord, help them to see that the reason for their unhappiness and why they are the way they are is because of how they're feeling against others. Lord, they're the ones that are really in prison, and they want to turn it so that they think they have us in prison. But really, they're the ones that are imprisoning themselves and unhappy. So we thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. But I praise you, Lord, and I think that it's happening when? Now. Right now. Praise be to God. All right, anyone else? I continue. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to share how Lord answers prayer for a couple of my daughters who the older one was really against the younger one for a few years because her life wasn't right. And she, I don't know, she looked at her proudly or what the deal. And it just, it because it's between them, they both would just not understand each other and bad things be said, which made it even harder. But anyway, then I've been praying and praying and praying. It really hurt me for so long. I was just praying, and God would just change their hearts, especially the heart of the older one. And God just did that. He did it. He just did it. They're just meeting together now with different things going on and talking, and which one wouldn't even go to the other's house, wouldn't do that. And that has been happening, and it's just been so good. So, you know, God's heart wanting to, and I don't know if actual exchange of words like, I'm sorry, will you forgive me, has happened, or if the other asked, what have I done? You know, well, I think she probably would know anyway, but I don't know if that happened or just in her own mind, she realized, okay, I've been wrong. I've got to start. You know, she's my sister. I got to start loving her and acting like I love her. I do love her. I'm with myself. I do forgive her. Maybe that's what took place. Well, I don't really know what took place, but God's done something. And if there's a deeper work he has to do, then I pray God will do that too. So I pray, Lord, that if there is a deeper work, Lord, that needs to be done, like the actual asking for forgiveness, Lord God, and extending forgiveness, Lord, I pray that you would bring that conviction, Lord, to whichever one, Lord God, that you would just do this. I thank you for what you've already done, Lord God. And I thank you for you to complete it, I make it complete, Lord God. And they'd be totally whole, knowing in themselves they're whole because they forgive each other, Lord. And I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
I just want to add a prayer. Lord, we've prayed many things here for individuals, many similar things we also go through, Lord. And we want to add those prayers to our situations also, Lord. Because we may have thought of things while people were praying that we may have very similar things in our own families. And we thank you, Lord, that these petitions were brought up, and we ask that you multiply them for us all. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Go ahead, Benita.
Just a real quick one. A couple of years ago, I think we all prayed that the drain flies would just be bound up and dead in my house and they would not return, and praise the Lord, that was manifested. It is done. There have been no drain flies for 2 years now. It's awesome. So now I am just asking you to agree with me that these stink bugs in my house are going to be gone, and we're going to be delivered from this buzzing in the middle of the night. It's so annoying.
Are they singing with the beautiful voice that they have?
Oh, yeah. Right in my ear, Michael.
Okay.
So
Well,
I
in
just.
the name of Jesus, we command those tree frogs out of there. You get on out and don't come back in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that they are moving when? Right now. They're getting out of there right now. Glory to God. And we praise you. She's not going to have another night of singing with the frogs. Amen.
I'm sorry,
Amen.
Vanita, did you say stink bugs?
The stink bugs, those flying
Well,
little
where in the
shielded
world did I
critters.
get tree frogs?
I don't have any idea, but you're not gonna have tree frogs either, Vanita.
Must be my Indian accent, Michael.
Or my Arkansas accent, one or the other.
I can see how it's possible. Yeah.
Okay.
This would be
Well,
nice.
in the
You
name
feel
of
good, Michael.
Jesus, we thank you for keeping the tree frogs out and sending the stink bugs out of there too. Just keep them out of there. Get on out, stink bugs, right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. She is cleansed of all these tormenting bugs and frogs and whatever. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Benita doesn't have to worry about it anymore. They're gone. Praise God. Amen. And Lord, I just ask that you bless our meeting in the morning, our book study. And also, I thank you for blessing our Bible study in the morning as well, David and mine. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in all of us, in the outreach and the locals and everywhere. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Looks like we're out of time, don't it? Just about it. Oh, let's see here.